welcome back to E-commerce AI, the Revenue Revolution. Today we're joined by Joe Albrecht, CEO of Xngage. With over 20 years in the software industry, Joe's expertise in the digital commerce solution architecture and delivery is unmatched. His passion for clients and technology drives constant innovation and problem solving, allowing him to really understand how to meet clients' digital transformation needs. In this episode, we'll discuss the XConnect connector for HawkSearch. We'll cover how search impacts 70% of all purchases and dive into topics like merchandising, personalization, and so much more. Joe and our CEO, Dr. Ari Khan, will share insights and real-world examples of companies successfully leveraging these tools. So let's go ahead and dive in.
Great. Thank you, Kristen. Joe, great to see you again. How you been?
Good to see you, Ari. And thanks for the nice intro. Appreciate that, Kristen.
Excellent. Well, for everybody, Xngage and Ridgeline have been partners now for a few years, and in particular have been working with Optimizely, where Xngage created a connector that brings HawkSearch to all the Optimizely customers and is an opportunity for anyone within Optimizely to really increase their revenue with better merchandising and search. And as we start developing more and more AI capabilities to bring all of those to the forefront as well. So Joe, thanks for everything that you and your team have done with us. What do you see as some of the most important things that search could bring to companies in terms of helping to improve their online revenue? Why would somebody want a more sophisticated search solution?
Well, search is kind of the central tool. Even though in B2B, many customers come knowing exactly what they need, the idea to find the right product for the right fit for the application is there, or finding products that might solve the same or could be used in exchange for others, solve the same technical need, alternatives, and just finding products in general is the central use case for a B2B website besides placing orders online. So everything happens through search, right? Even if we search in our private lives, we typically don't go anymore and do anything other than typing it in Google, and then we look at the results. But for the B2B use case on a website, I think search and faceting and drilling in and getting to the right product quickly is critical. And because in B2B, you're dealing with a lot of data, you're dealing with typically a lot of attributes that you might want to refine on and facet on, it's just a very central use case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. And I always think back to what we did before everything was being sold online and how, okay, great, you might go into a store and browse for a little bit, but in a more sophisticated setting, especially one with in B2B, you would speak with the salesperson, ask them questions, and they would be prescriptive in the sense that they would help guide you towards the best products for you. And I think that search provides that prescriptive salesperson for a website. And then that also brings in merchandising, where now instead of just allowing the customer to browse and buy or not buy whatever they happen to see, to actually bring certain products to the forefront. And that'll all grow now that we've got better AI capabilities as well from a merchandising perspective. So that's the way I like to think of search, is your website's number one salesperson, so to speak.
Yes, and actually with the merchandising comes also the question about the context, right? And in B2B, the context is the customer that's authenticated. So the smarter the search can be about who is currently buying and what they have maybe purchased in the past, the more the search can anticipate what that customer is looking for, the more segmented and personalized is also the experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting, as search becomes a bigger part of the B2B shopping, it even becomes something that can do bundling and can create packages that you would buy as a B2B shopper rather than the individuals. And if behind the scenes, you've got a catalog with packages that the person might not realize, oh, if I buy 1,000 widgets instead of the 780 that I think that I need, it's actually the same price or a lot cheaper and so forth. So that would show up in a search result that the buyer might not realize is even an option. So you've got a huge number of customers. What are some examples where people are leveraging search in new ways or having great success with search? And even outside of search also, what are some of the trends that you're seeing people be successful with on their sites?
So I think with search, a lot of the immediate use cases are around getting the right results back and having solutions for things like imperfect product descriptions, because a lot of the results, they hinge on the data quality. And what I can say without a doubt is that good product data is another big struggle in the B2B space across all the years we have done this now and all the customers we have. Product data is always a topic. And the more a search engine, while it is fed by good data, there are also, you know, abilities for search to account for some imperfections by newer methodologies like vector-based search, etc. The better the results are, no matter what the data, the better the search experience and therefore the search engine. So I see a lot of focus on finding the right things and you know, getting these products back that otherwise, you mentioned a sales rep. The sales rep has opinions about what should be displayed when I type in a certain keyword, and that expectation of the sales rep sometimes just is not what the search reveals, because there is a difference, right? The human brain has a different way to think about the results. But the search technologies that we see a lot creating a lot of interest now are those smarter searches that can account for these imperfections I mentioned, and then simply searches that also can tap into the historical data, I said it before, that can look at that context. Who is this customer? What was the purchase history? What have they been buying? And infer based on that historical data set what they could possibly want, or which product should be boosted, and so forth and so on. So, I see a lot of these kind of mundane search activities still being the major focus area. This AI stuff is coming, and that's, of course, a big topic right now, and I'm sure you're going to share a little bit more about it. But I would say just getting good quality results back is still the struggle that many people are trying to solve.
Yeah, and the AI will help in that regard. So, you know, when I think of traditional keyword-based search, where you can make it a little smarter with maybe some synonyms or even misspellings, correct and so forth, that's different than the underlying vectors that are describing products in an AI world that understand the concept, or at least represent the concept behind the search. We have a customer who had tens of thousands of products, who and a team in Vietnam that was reading all of their marketing literature to understand what the really just encode all that marketing information into their sparse database. By sparse, I mean it was missing a lot of information. And this team had been working at it for like a decade. Well, we brought in vector-based search with large language model. We just ingested all of that marketing information, encoded that in the individual vectors for each product. So it was still a very efficient encoding from just a size perspective. And now when somebody searches on their website, and unfortunately we put all these Vietnamese people out of business because we're typing all this stuff in, but all of that marketing info with a decade of history is available in that search, and people, you know, can find a product based on things that are outside of the individual descriptions. And in the same way, images and other attributes that might not normally be indexed inside of a search become a soft part of the language model vectors that describe a product and allow for that more human-centric natural language search to still find those products. And that's going to change the way that people's expectations are with respect to how a website returns results. And if somebody doesn't have concept style language, large language model search results, it's just going to feel weird and it's going to cost them customers because it's just no longer going to be intuitive. It's amazing to me how quickly people changed their behavior to think and peck and type in a keyword-centric model, which is not necessarily how we would interact with another person. And I think that very quickly, people are going to shift back into a more natural model with expectations on search as well. Have outside of, you know, so HawkSearch, great. We've got a lot of language models. Have you been seeing people doing any direct large language model or AI-based stuff on their website, or is it always in the context of search or a chat bot or some other product? I'm curious to see how far people are thinking about that.
So I have a background with large language NLP-based analysis, but I haven't seen that come to B2B quite yet. We used it in the days in the banking world to analyze documents. I haven't seen anything like that yet. I think where we see AI the most is in the areas of merchandising, product recommendations. Speech comes a little bit. I think that's an interesting area as well to have more voice-based interactions. But that's not necessarily about search, although search will be a big portion of that. But all in all, I mentioned already, I think getting good product results back and quickly is important. And then also we have a lot of, as you mentioned, thousands and thousands of products, right? And B2B is typically hundreds of thousands of products. So managing the amount of data and managing the amount of variant products often is also crucial in the context of search. So being able to find the right needle in the haystack. Sometimes products have, you know, all sorts of attributes that slightly differ, and based on, let's say, the diameter, that is the critical piece. They need to find that product that fits, that has exactly that diameter. Take screws, for instance, or fasteners. There are lots of use cases that are very technical in nature, and I think are still a little bit a challenge at times.
Yeah. And in addition to that, you also have images and other media that are typically not indexed in a traditional keyword-based search model, but with a multimodal language model, then all of that becomes part of it. We have two publishing companies that both have come to us and said that their customers often remember what the cover looks like of a book, but they don't remember the actual title, which was surprising to me, but okay, you know, I don't know that much about books. So being able to search based on the color, or even the colors where it's like, oh, I need that book with the red cover by this author to be able to find a book to buy.
That's actually a use case, yes, we have seen, and some clients of ours were already implementing something like that, where you can upload a picture of a part and it then can find similar parts, right? That's a typical use case. I mean, Google and Amazon do it since some time, but that I think is interesting in the context of B2B. If you are some guy who works on an HVAC system out there in the field and, I don't know, the transistor, the compressor, whatever is broken, and, you know, not a compressor, maybe a smaller part, and you need to quickly find something, that could be a use case, definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a related use case I could see where, all right, using the same thing, great, you break open the engine and you've got all these parts in front of you, you don't know the name of them, to be able to just pull open your cell phone and then have a shopping cart full of all of the parts that appeared in that image you just snapped. Mm-hmm. And then you can remove, rather than have an additive process for the part, it goes in the other direction, that could increase sales significantly. And all that's possible with a language model. We have a customer who sells party supplies. And one of their use cases is to be able to say something like, I want to have a Halloween party that is Harry Potter similar. And boom, again, it starts off with the shopping cart full of spider webs and Harry Potter wands and whatever else you're going to want for the party. And it becomes a removal from the cart rather than additive process. And I think that anyone who's doing B2B or B2C site should think hard about whether they want to reverse things and have people remove stuff from a cart and how much that could change the average order value for their website.
Yeah, it's an interesting use case. I think it goes well with companies that sell equipment and then have maybe consumables or parts that go bad over time and need to be replaced. You often want to find the parts that belong to a bigger unit, and being able to find or identify such parts from drawings and or pictures seems very exciting use case. Yes.
Yeah. And are most of Xngage's customers B2B or B2C, or is it an even mix? What type of customers are coming to Xngage?
Clearly, we have a history and I think reputation about being one of the very first B2B commerce agencies. We started 2015 when it wasn't as hip and popular as today. But so just based on the tradition and history of Xngage, we serve a lot of distributors and manufacturers. Not to say that our second customer wasn't a company that would be more in the retail space, but they had a B2B business use case. You know, it doesn't really matter to us if you're selling in a B2C model. We can handle that. Obviously, this is the easier use case. You have one customer, one product, and that's typically what you care about. In B2B, the use cases are much more complex, diverse. The integrations are often more complex, depending when you get into the bigger enterprise. So B2B is what I think is much more interesting to solve for, and therefore we have the majority of our customers in that arena.
Mm-hmm. In the B2B space, what are some of the people talk about B2B being a laggard online, but they do have much more sophisticated and unique requirements. And that laggard argument, what are some of the common B2C capabilities that have not yet made it to many of the B2B sites that people need to start adding to their site?
I don't see that there is a lot of lagging behind in if you're looking at features and things like that. I think B2B is so vastly different that it starts now to sink in that B2B isn't as much as about placing an order or taking a product through a checkout flow. That's absolute table stakes. B2B is about streamlining business processes and create the same kind of relationships you have had over years and support those with digital means, right? And so that's a totally different approach that I see now emerging. The past 8 years were about getting out a storefront and building out another e-commerce site and have orders come in online. That's great. That's today table stakes. B2B is going to be all about digitizing processes or digitalizing the business. And that's what is exciting for me as someone who is in this space for a long time. We'll see what the future holds.
A couple of the things that I've seen that B2B has that are unique to B2B and can become very difficult to implement properly center around the shopping cart and having potentially teams that are filling shopping carts or much more information than would be required in the B2C space in terms of order history and being able to repeat orders that you've had before and so forth. So all of these capabilities are often needed and above and beyond what a typical B2C site might have, at least for the B2Bs that we are implementing.
Yeah, there are more differences than commonalities. I mean, what's common is that there's a product that eventually gets purchased. But I think in B2B, it's if you just look at it, how important it is for search to index not only the products and the product info, but for instance, have information about what's the availability of that product. And if that can be in the index, that's very, very helpful, right? Not all platforms or solutions can solve for that. But the availability is so critical in B2B. And not just that it is available, but also where, in which location, etc. And I think it's good to have different search options, but it takes a lot of effort to integrate a search engine into an e-commerce experience if it is not B2C, right? Why is that? Because in a B2C scenario, you're primarily concerned with getting your products back that the search engine has. So once you solve the indexing piece, you get results back, and that's great, and you can hook them straight into the UI. Problem is, in B2B, it's not that simple. You have to maintain the integrity of the data that comes back through search in compliance with what the B2B use cases dictate. So one example only, you cannot purchase all the items that are in your catalog if you're a certain customer, right? Maybe you can only purchase a subset of products. Well, you have to account for that in the search results. So you have to account for this during the indexing process. Just one example. And so integrating a search engine with a B2B customer experience and digital platform is a different undertaking than integrating it in a B2C retail setting. And so that's why we worked for quite some time together with your team to solve for those use cases and basically create a connector or accelerator that brings those results back in compliance with those B2B use cases and requirements, while taking a little bit off the table the time that it would take to build each time and the cost that it would take to build each time, right?
Yeah, that's one of the great things about our partnership that I think really delivered out a lot of value. You said a connector or accelerator. And I think that that's an important point to emphasize, is that the X Engage connector with HawkSearch accelerates, allows you to reallocate your budget when you're implementing something from the plumbing of connecting something at a low level towards the real value added of your site itself, and to drive a lot more sales that way rather than spending all of your all of your time worried about how to deal with these nuances. And then the other part, and this is one of the main reasons why we really wanted to partner with you on this connector, was that to have the deeper understanding of what the real difference is for B2B and what those connectors need to be able to have available out of the box, rather than miss some of those marks that that could be missed by someone that's less experienced in the B2B space and is only thinking from a B2C perspective. So we've now been out together with the Optimizely connector for nearly a year. I think that it's been a pretty great success. We've launched several customers together, and as Bridgeline continues to add AI capabilities and bringing more components, then we'll be partnering together to bring all of that out for Optimizely as well. We, I think, have seen more momentum from Optimizely in the last year than all the other platforms combined, I think. And I think that Optimizely is actually investing in that space and expanding. They did a press release recently that gave some of their financials and went into some details on that. But I'm expecting to see them continue to really push on B2B, which would be good for you and good for us.
All right, guys. Well, it sounds like it's a good time for me to kind of chime in. And Joe, I just kind of wanted to give you an opportunity. If anybody wanted to connect with XEngage or learn more about the connector, where can they go to do that?
They can go to our website, xengage.com, no E, just xngage.com, and they can learn everything about us there, or they can then contact me through the website, or they can meet us at one of our upcoming joint events. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being on. This was wonderful. And we'll also be sure to link XEngage in the show notes so anybody can just easily click on it and find it. So thank you guys so much. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all next time.